digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Fired has the bombs.
Where is he?
I don't know, but I can help you find him.
Preparing the tracker now. We can track the isotope signature up to 15 miles.
And we are locked on the isotope signature that's being emitted from Grudenko's arm.
You led them to me.
I had no choice.
I don't like it. Something's wrong.
I'm heading in.
Which direction, Milo?
He stopped and entered the building on the left.
Milo, no one's in here.
God. You cut off Grudenko's arm. Ryan, move your men in now.
I want Fayette alive.
I recognize him from the news. It's a terrorist they're looking for.
That is him.
Bastard.
Back off!
Grudenko's not here. I need you to lock down the area and initiate a search.
One of the cabinet votes is invalid. The tally's 7-6. Favor of invoking the 25th Amendment and removing President Palmer from power. I'm sorry, Wayne.
No, don't waste your apologies on me because I won't let you steal the presidency.
As I'm sure you're aware, sir, conspiracy to commit perjury is a felony offense.
My affidavit will push the court to rule in your favor so that you can do what's right for this country.
You're right. Do it. Turn it off.
Wayne. The Supreme Court was just notified. Daniels withdrew his suit. You're still the President of the United States.
President Palmer.
What?
He's about to go ahead with a nuclear strike.
This makes no sense, sir. It's what you risked your life to stop.
Tom, I risked my life to reassert my authority.
Mr. President, we have a successful launch.
Good.
The following takes place between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m.
Mr. President, the missile is just entering target's airspace.
Mr. President.
Tom, I said I was done talking.
We both agreed. A nuclear strike is pointless. Fayed's actions are not state-sponsored, and his country cannot be held accountable for this.
5 minutes to impact.
Ambassador assured us his country is doing everything possible to find those suitcase nukes. They simply don't know anything.
Well, one way or another, Tom, we're about to find out if that's true.
Lennox looks across at Karen Hayes. Karen dials out on her mobile and withdraws from the conference room.
Buchanan.
Bill, it's me. Have you gotten anything from Fayed?
Jack's interrogating him now, but frankly, he's not optimistic about breaking him. What's going on?
The president's gone ahead with a missile strike.
He what?
He's launched it, Bill.
Why?
I don't know why. He fought the vice president to regain his office, and now he's just going ahead with Daniel's plan. It doesn't make any sense. We've got to stop this.
Well, can I tell the president
that you have a solid lead from Fayed on the location of the suitcase nukes?
If you're asking me to provide a pretext to bring the missile down, Karen, I can't do that. Fayed's not talking and Grudenko's dead. I don't have anything.
Okay, okay.
I'm sorry.
Me too. I'll call you later.
Karen shakes her head as she hangs up. She goes back in, discreetly signaling to Tom that she's had no luck.
Sir, we have confirmation that radars tagged the missile. They're scrambling fighters and readying air defenses, sir.
And they know we're coming. Good.
Sir, I just got off the phone with C2U. Bauer's interrogating Fayed. It's just a matter of time before he has the location of those bombs.
No, Karen, we can't afford to wait longer.
Sir, we can't afford not to, please. Why are you doing this?
4 minutes to impact, Mr. President.
Karen walks away and paces desperately. Wayne Palmer stares and blinks, with perhaps a shade less resolve than before. His hand resting on the table trembles visibly. Tom notices.
President. Yes.
Excuse me, we have the ambassador on for the president.
This is President Palmer.
Mr. President, my government has alerted me of the nuclear weapon heading toward my country.
Yeah, that's correct, Mr. Ambassador. We've made good on our threat.
For God's sake, I implore you to stop it.
On what grounds?
We have uncovered new information regarding your situation.
I'm listening.
We have identified a general in our central command, General Muammar Habib, who has also been in contact with Fayed. It's our belief that he's been helping orchestrate the attacks on your country.
Have you arrested Habib?
Yes, yes. He's being interrogated as we speak. Please, you must abort this attack before it's too late.
Does Habib know the present location of Fayed's nuclear weapons?
It is my understanding that the general's last contact with Fayed was during the drone operation. He has no current knowledge of the weapons' whereabouts or their intended targets.
Mr. President, 2 minutes to impact, sir.
Ambassador, your government has known about this man for quite some time, haven't they?
Mr. President, this development has come as a shock.
Stop lying to me! That missile will hit in less than 2 minutes, Mr. Ambassador, so please don't try my patience again.
You must understand the fragile political climate of our country. General Habib is a high-ranking military commander.
I really hope protecting this man was worth pushing us to the brink of World War III.
The President, his scarred face grim, casts a look at Tom.
The missile will be aborted, Mr. Ambassador. But in the meantime, I strongly suggest you get me a full dossier on General Habib. I want a thorough update on the progress of his interrogation. I'm also demanding that you return here, to the White House immediately. I want direct access to you, sir, for the duration of this crisis.
As you wish, Mr. President.
Commander, abort code Alpha Zero Delta Nine. Ditch it in the Gulf.
My God, they were lying to us all the time. Withholding information, and you knew it.
I suspected it.
Well, I'll see that the Vickery sends a recovery team to retrieve that nuclear warhead.
That won't be necessary, Tom.
The President ordered the launch of a secondary missile on board the Vickery. An unarmed one.
What? This was all a bluff?
The Vice President was right. Well, about one thing anyway. That it was going to take a willingness to strike back before getting any real cooperation from their government. The difference is I wasn't about to take innocent lives to prove my point. Now let's get this information to CTU. Perhaps it's the key to breaking Fayed.
Tom and Karen exchange a look of awe. Jack swings a punch at the bound Fayed.
This country is planning a full retaliatory strike against your people. Now, I can stop it, but tell me where the bombs are. Where are the bombs? Fayed, this is over. You lost. Save your people. Just tell me where the bombs are.
Are you enjoying yourself, Bauer? As much as you enjoyed butchering my little brother?
Your brother was responsible for the death of dozens of innocent lives. Now you're responsible for thousands. Trust me, I haven't begun to enjoy myself.
Go ahead. You'll get nothing from me, and you know it.
We'll see.
Jack slams a punch into Fayed's solar plexus and then crosses the room to Doyle.
This is not working.
Let me have a go with him.
No. It's exactly what he wants. He knows he's lost. Hold on.
This is Bauer.
Jack, it's Bill. What's your status with Fayed?
Same as before. We're getting nowhere.
I just got some new intel from the White House. Fayed's government arrested one of its generals, Muammar Habib. Apparently, he's been running Fayed, helping him coordinate the attacks.
Then Habib would know where Fayed's men are.
Unfortunately not. He claims there's been no contact since the failed drone attack. They're interrogating him now.
Well, unless Habib's going to give us something more useful than that, we still have no location for these bombs.
You have to try something more drastic. How soon can you have Fayed ready for transport?
Immediately, but I think we've got a play.
You really think you're going to be remembered as some great martyr for your people, Fayed? Yeah, you blew up a little city and you killed a lot of people today. But let's face it, that's going to be of no real political significance. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Your number two guy, once he realizes that you're out of the picture, he's going to take those remaining suitcase nukes, and he's going to blow up a substantial target. Okay, something that's really going to hurt this country. And if by some chance he succeeds, he's going to be the hero of your jihad, and you will be forgotten. Is that what you want?
Do you honestly believe you can manipulate me by playing on my vanity? I serve the will of God.
No, you don't. And if you don't believe me, ask him when you meet him.
Agent Doyle, lower your weapon. I said lower your weapon! Buchanan wants us to transport Fayette back to CTU.
We don't have time. His men are probably on the move.
The only way we're gonna break him is with a pharmaceutical package. Burke is standing by.
We don't need Burke. Just give me some time with him.
Those are your orders.
Fayette looks contemptuously up at Doyle.
Agent Doyle, do you have a problem?
No problem.
Good. Get your men ready.
Fayette turns to Jack, a look of dread in his eyes.
Now we're gonna have some fun.
End of part one.
Excuse me, sir. Here's the file on Habib.
President Palmer takes from Tom Lennox a hardbound file containing a photo of a thin-faced Arab in full general's rig, plus pages of documentation.
Is this the complete dossier on General Habib?
No, sir. That's preliminary. I was told by the ambassador's staff that more will be forthcoming and will be relayed concurrently to CTU.
Good. How soon before the ambassador gets here?
Oh, within 15 minutes. Oh, and I spoke with Secret Service. They said your sister is on her way back to the hospital to be with Waleed, and she's going to call you soon.
All right. Thank you.
I did want to say, your handling of the crisis.
Tom, I know you're not happy that you were kept in the dark about the bluff, but the Joint Chiefs and I agreed to keep the plan closed.
Yeah, that's not it. I just want to say I'm sorry. I doubted your strength and your leadership.
It's all right.
Well, respectfully, sir, no. It's not all right.
Tom, you and I go back a long time. So let's be honest with each other. You made it no secret that you believed the vice president was better suited to lead this country through this crisis.
And I was wrong about that, sir. No, if that missile had detonated on foreign soil, Russia, China, every nation with a nuclear capability might well have inserted themselves into this. No, this could have been a world war.
Unfortunately, we're already in a world war, Tom. It's just taken me some time to fully realize that. If it hadn't been for Vice President Daniels initiating that missile launch, I would have had no gambit to play here, and the ambassador would never have come forward with this intel on Habib. I'm not David, Tom, and I never will be, but I am learning that who I am is not so bad.
Yeah. Well, we're all doing some learning here today, aren't we, sir?
Tom? Daniels withdrew his challenge to my competency very suddenly, and from what I know, without any discernible reason.
Change of heart, maybe?
Well, something must have changed it. You have something on him, don't you?
Sir, as Chief of Staff, I'm here to inform you and also to protect you. Those jobs don't always work in combination.
Tom exits, leaving Wayne Palmer smiling ironically. His expression clouds as he notes the uncontrollable tremor in his right hand. 10:18, a black CTU van drives through the night.
We're northbound on Washington, ETA, about 16 minutes. Tell Agent Burke we're gonna need everything he's got.
Jack, what if this doesn't work? I've never found pharmaceutical torture all that effective.
I have.
This is supposed to frighten me. You're wasting your time. I won't tell you a thing.
Whether you do or not, I get to watch you suffer.
Agent Doyle, I don't want you talking to
Jack!
Me. What now?
Jack, distracted, fails to notice the security van heading straight for them. The CTU van rolls. Armed men leap from the other vehicle.
Everybody okay?
Yeah!
They're trying to flank us on both sides. We're sitting ducks here. If I get my head out the back, I'll cover you from this side.
All right.
Yeah. Doyle and Jack succeed in felling a number of the enemy, but now Doyle is hit and falls. Jack appears to take a bullet in the chest and falls onto his back and lies still. The masked attackers now help Fayed out of the CTU van. They escort Fayed to their own van. Stowing themselves in the rear of the vehicle, they now drive away. The road is strewn with the bodies of the fallen. Doyle and Jack lie motionless. A motorcade of CTU SUVs approach. Jack sits bolt upright.
We're clear! We're clear!
Doyle and the fallen attackers all get to their feet.
Jack, you copy? Bill, do you copy?
We're here, Jack.
Cover team just picked up Fayed.
Think you bought it?
We'll know soon enough.
10:20. Jack swings himself up into the passenger seat of one of the SUVs. Doyle drives it away.
Is the AV feed up yet?
We're almost there.
Agent Doyle, you're bleeding.
Must have cut myself in the crash.
Mike, do you need medical assistance?
Negative, it's superficial, but thanks for your concern.
Jack, I'm patching it through to you now.
Copy that.
Jack receives the video feed from inside the attacker's van.
Tally, take evasive measures. Keep off the main streets.
El khutha naja. Kul shi tamam. Fayed mawjood. Khabar el general.
My name is Jamal Nasawa. We were the Al Tahrin cell. General Habib sent us.
General,
yes.
How did you find me?
Through contacts the general has within the American intelligence community. He learned of your route and ordered us to intercept.
He wants us to help you rendezvous with your men.
Give me a gun.
A tense moment. One of his colleagues makes a play of resisting, but Jamal signals for him to hand the gun over. Fayed takes the gun. He checks the magazine. Appearing satisfied, he stows it in his jacket.
I want to speak to him. General Habib.
That's not possible at all.
Why not?
The general is under tight scrutiny by the government.
It's not safe. He said he'd call us when he can. Fayed, where do you want us to take you?
I'll let you know after I speak to the general.
As you wish.
Bill, did you copy that? Fayed's not going anywhere unless he talks to General Habib.
I don't know if I can make that happen, Jeff.
We've got to make that happen, otherwise this play is going to fall through. We have no other way to find the bombs.
I'll call the White House. We need to involve the president.
10:27. In the bunker, Tom Lennox signals to the president that there's a call for him.
Buchanan on the phone. I'm patching him through.
Bill, you're on speaker with Tom Lennox and myself.
So what's the situation?
Jack Bauer wasn't able to extract any information from Fayed. He considered it a dead end. Consequently, we implemented a plan intended to trick Fayed into leading us to the location of the suitcase nukes.
What sort of plan?
We staged a fake rescue of Fayed by CTU agents posing as members of a terrorist cell with loyalties to Habib.
We hoped that Fayed would lead us to wherever his men are holed up.
But he hasn't, right?
No, sir. Fayed is stalling until he can get confirmation from Habib that these men are taking orders from him. He wants to speak to the general, sir.
Habib is still being interrogated, Bill. We don't know yet how cooperative he's being, or even if he will be.
I appreciate that, sir. Our agents on the inside are trying to circumvent Fayed's request, but Jack believes Fayed will not lead us to the location of the nukes unless he speaks directly to the general.
Where's the ambassador now?
He arrived a few minutes ago. Karenase is meeting him in the lounge.
All right. I'll do my best to put pressure on the ambassador. Maybe they can force Habib to make that call. Keep doing what you can on your end, just in case I'm not successful.
Yes, sir. We'll keep you apprised.
All right.
You know, sir, if this ruse isn't working, our time might be better served getting the information out of Fayed by more conventional means.
Well, if Jack Bauer says that's a dead end, then it's a dead end, and I believe him. Let's not keep the ambassador waiting.
Whoa! Are you all right, sir?
Having stumbled badly as he gets up from his desk, Palmer now does his best to affect a purposeful gait. It appears somewhat laboured, however. Wayne enters a room where stand Karen Hayes and the ambassador.
Ambassador?
Mr. President?
The Prime Minister has asked me to convey his gratitude to you for stopping the attack on our country, and his relief that an international catastrophe was narrowly avoided.
Well, don't get too comfortable, Mr. Ambassador, because there may be one yet. Sit down.
The ambassador appears unused to such undiplomatic language, but sits.
Let me get right to the point. At this very moment, Abu Fayed is traveling with a team of CTU agents posing as a terrorist cell, allied with General Habib.
You have Fayed?
Yeah, we do, but we don't have the suitcase nukes. The problem is Fayed will not rendezvous with his men until he speaks to that general, presumably to confirm the legitimacy of our undercover agents. So we need that phone call to take place now.
I appreciate your dilemma, Mr. President, and I will gladly pass on your request. But I'm not sure the general will be accommodating. He has proven to be quite stubborn throughout his interrogation.
Well, perhaps you should be a little bit more persuasive.
I resent your tone. I don't need you to tell me how dire the situation is.
This is not a moment for your indignation, considering it's your country's own inactions that have brought us to this point.
I can assure you every effort is being made to get information from him. We have even arrested his family.
Have you threatened to kill them?
I beg your pardon?
Mr. President.
These are desperate times for us, Mr. Ambassador. I spared your country a nuclear strike that would have killed thousands. What is your country willing to do to ensure that another bomb does not go off in mine?
What you're suggesting is barbaric.
I'm fully aware of how your country treats political dissidents, so don't you dare speak to me of barbarism. Now, I don't care how you do it, but General Habib needs to call Fayed and give him his orders directly without compromising CTU's operation. You'll make the call now.
The ambassador blinks, but takes the phone from Palmer. End of part two.
Nadia, if General Habib makes the call, it'll be to Jamal's phone, but the general doesn't speak English.
I'll set up a separate channel and translate their conversation. Milo, I need you to uplink a proprietary channel on socket D to my terminal.
I can't, I'm busy. Why don't you just do it yourself?
Because I don't have level 5 security clearance.
It hasn't stopped you before, now has it?
Milo, is there something on your mind?
I just don't get it. A few hours ago, Doyle was threatening you, hurting you. Barely talking to me, and now what, you two are best buddies?
Just because I show concern for an injured field agent doesn't make us friends. Milo, besides, he might not be as bad as you think he is.
No, he is. Guy's a creep and a sadist.
You know what, I don't have time for this. I can have Chloe do it. It's fine.
That's it? That's all you're gonna say?
Call me.
Morris observes the tense scene.
Psst. I know it's none of my business, but do we have a bit of a problem?
No. I'll set up your channel.
Thank you.
Nadia walks away from Milo and past Morris, who looks on and catches her arm.
You right now?
Yeah, thanks.
Mention it.
The armored van continues on its way. Fayed peers through the window at the road ahead.
Pull into the garage up there. We'll wait there.
10:33. The van veers off the road and between the concrete pillars of a covered car park. Doyle and Jack, in their SUV, cruise to a halt at the curb nearby. The armored van stops. Jamal turns to Fayed.
Fayed, I understand your caution. But we can't just sit here while the Americans are looking for us.
Get
told you we're not going any further until the general calls. Tell me, Jamal.
If you take your orders from General Habib as I do, how is it I've never heard of you or yourself?
This is going south, Jack.
Just be patient.
Don't be a fool, Fayed. You know how this works. Every cell is autonomous without the knowledge of what the others are doing. It is the only way that we can protect ourselves and our operation should any of us get captured. Yes. Naam Saidi. Who mojud mai? The general.
Fayed eyes Jamal suspiciously but slowly takes the phone.
Hello?
Fayed.
ما أقدر أتكلم كثير. أعتقد أني مراقب.
Fayed, I can't speak long. I suspect I'm being watched.
خبروني.
So I was told.
General.
General.
إلين قدوني.
These men who rescued me, did you send them?
The badly beaten general watches as two boys have guns held to their heads.
طبعا.
Of course I sent them.
القنابل. بعد معك.
Do you still have the bombs? There are two left. They're with Halil at a safe house. Why haven't you used them? The Russian Grudenko failed to provide us with a means to a secondary target. You failed, Fayed. I should have sent Samir in your place. Are the bombs operational?
Jazin.
They are.
See.
Good.
اتصل بالرسالة.
Connect with your men.
جهز القنابل.
Get the bombs ready to move out. Call me back at this number.
جديد ليك.
By then, I will have chosen a new target for you. Do you understand?
نعم, General.
Yes, General.
Are we good?
The safe house isn't far. Head east toward the 110 freeway.
Target vehicle is moving.
Copy that, Jack. Looks like it worked. We'll let the White House know.
10:36. The van pulls out of the car park. Jack and Doyle look down discreetly as the van's headlights rake across their vehicle.
Let's go.
At the bunker, the ambassador paces. Wayne Palmer is looking less than well. Karen Hayes notes this and approaches him solicitously.
Mr. President? Are you feeling all right?
I'm fine, Karen. Just, I'm just a little tired.
Mr. President, I just got word from CTU. The general's phone call appears to have satisfied Fayed. He's leading them to the safe house and the bombs.
Oh, thank God.
I'm pleased we were able to help, Mr. President.
So am I. Karen, would you please show the ambassador to his car?
Yes, Mr. President.
Forgive me, Mr. President, but I believe you asked me to remain here until the crisis is resolved.
That won't be necessary any longer. Thank you again for your cooperation.
Of course, Mr. President.
Wayne Palmer is now on his feet, but sweating profusely. Karen and Tom Lennox look on with concern.
You handled him well, sir.
The door, Tom.
Excuse me, sir. What?
The door. Lock it.
Mr. President.
No one can know.
Sir! Mr. President!
Palmer collapses. 10:41. At CTU, Morris rolls his chair across the floor and speaks to Bill Buchanan.
All shuttle teams for Bauer and Doyle have checked in and are standing by. They're ready to advance the moment Fayed arrives at his safe house.
No one moves until Jack calls with confirmation that the nukes are there. Make sure Fayed's vehicle and the follow car have a wide berth. No choppers in the area, nothing to tip Fayed off.
Right.
Sir, I think we have a problem.
What is it?
I analyzed the transcript between General Habib and Fayed. There's an inconsistency. During the conversation, the general mentioned a man named Samir.
That's right.
According to the interagency database, Samir Al-Aft had served on the general's staff throughout the 90s. He was later implicated in money laundering for various radical organizations.
Well, that's probably the guy.
Yeah, well, the problem is Samir Al-Aft was killed 2 years ago in a raid by Afghan forces.
But the general spoke about him as if he were alive.
Okay, he could be referring to another Samir.
Or it could be a code. I think the general was trying to tell Fayed that he was speaking under duress.
I better warn Jack and Doyle. Nadia, good work.
Jack, they're turning north onto Adams.
Jack?
We just detected what might be a duress code in the conversation between General Habib and Fayed. Give me the specifics.
The general mentioned sending in a man named Samir Al-Afdan, but Samir's been dead for 2 years.
Give me your phone. We need to call Jamal.
Jack, if they're wrong, you could blow this.
If they're right, this is already over. Now give me your phone!
Jack dials out. In the armored van, Fayed leans up against the wall. 10:43. Jamal, seated next to him, answers his phone.
Yes.
Jamal, this is Agent Bauer. I'm in the follow vehicle behind you. I need you to listen to me very carefully.
Go ahead.
We believe that General Habib may have given Fayed a distress signal. Fayed might know that this is a setup. Jamal. Jamal, do you copy? Damn it, what the hell just happened? CTU, we just lost video and audio.
They went into a tunnel about a quarter of a mile ahead. It may just be interference.
How long is it?
Checking. It's only 120 yards long. They should have come out the other side by now.
Copy that. Aerial 1, this is Jack Bauer. We have lost the target vehicle. It entered a tunnel on Adams. We need you to seal off the north end. We're going in.
A helicopter wheels overhead. Doyle drives the SUV into the tunnel.
We got a visual on the target vehicle. It stopped in the middle of the tunnel. We're going to engage.
The van is parked at an angle in a side tunnel. Doyle and Jack get out, weapons held level, and advance towards the van. The rear doors are slightly open. They draw close and pull the doors open, revealing a scene of carnage within.
Dead. They're both dead.
Jamal's still alive. Stay with him. Call in a medic. Aerial 1, did you see anything leave the north end of the tunnel? Aerial 1, do you copy?
Jack spots a service door in the opposite wall of the tunnel. The lock appears to have been shot open. He approaches cautiously and kicks open the door. He does a sweep with his gun in the corridor within and then proceeds. Jack walks through a mass of ducts and pipework. Hearing the sound, Jack cautiously turns and heads towards the source. 10:45. Hidden behind a piece of machinery, Jack spots Fayed rifling the pockets of a dead man lying on the ground next to a large dumpster. Fayed takes a phone and calls out.
It's me. I'm on my way to you now.
As Fayed swings himself up into the driver's seat, Jack slips behind the garbage truck.
I'll explain when I get there.
Fayed fires up the truck and turns on the headlights. He pulls away, with Jack clinging to the underside of the massive vehicle. Fayed pulls out from the structure of the tunnel and onto the open road, gathering speed. Jack clings on beneath, his head inches away from the rotating drive shaft.
Village, Jack, do you copy?
Jack, go ahead.
My head is in a sanitation truck headed east.
Jack, say again, we didn't get that.
Damn it!
Jack. Jack.
No contact from Agent Doyle. Aerial 1 says they're still inside the tunnel.
Send the call to audio forensics, see if they can pull what Jack said. Chloe, replay the satellite feed, back time at 60 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Bill, this is Doyle. I don't have a 20 on Jack, but I have a dead body at the loading dock.
The garbage lorry speeds away with Jack hanging on for dear life. 10:47, end of part 3. Part 4, 10:51. Wayne Palmer lies unconscious on a padded bench. Dr. Welton works concentratedly, attaching a monitor to the president's wrist. Tom Lennox leans over, full of concern.
Doctor, what is happening to him?
His blood pressure's dropped. It's 80 over 40. Could be any number of things. Vascular damage from the adrenaline shot. Intracranial swelling.
Mr. President, we have to get you down to medical.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Just
shot of adrenaline.
No, sir. Another ejection would kill you. I should never have given you that last one. I won't make that mistake again. I'm sorry.
Palmer, now sitting up on the padded bench, grimaces, leans back and starts doing up his shirt collar.
Sir, what are you doing?
I'm going back to work.
Please listen to this man. Let him perform some tests.
When this crisis is over, Tom, and those nukes are secured.
In my opinion, you won't last that long.
I might surprise you.
Mr. President, if you don't get down to medical right now, you can have my resignation.
I won't accept your resignation, Arthur, so don't bother.
Will you excuse us?
Welton's face registers anguish. He bends down to gather his things together. As he stands up again, he talks close in Tom Lennox's ear.
For God's sake, talk some sense into him, Tom.
It is his decision.
Welton looks incredulously at Lennox.
Tom, call CTU. I want to know what's happening.
All right, sir. All right.
Wayne Palmer winces as he adjusts his collar and tie. The garbage truck wheels around a corner. Jack remains clinging to the undercarriage. Fire drives the vehicle into an industrial complex of some sort and parks up by a loading bay. Halia and the other gang members emerge to investigate. Fired climbs out. Jack lowers himself to the ground.
What's going on, Brother Fayyad? What happened?
Denko betrayed us. He led CTU right to me.
What?
They may be tracking me. It's not safe here. Load the bombs onto the truck. We're leaving.
Where are we going?
To finish this. We're going to take out downtown Los Angeles.
Let's move. You wait here. You guys, come with me.
As the majority of the gang head back inside, one man is left patrolling the loading bay. Jack pops up, deftly trips the man and snaps his neck like a twig. Hopping up onto the loading bay and drawing his weapon, Jack now heads inside after the gang. Jack observes from the shadows. As two armed terrorists pass close by, Jack slips to the other side of the passageway. He takes up a position in the lee of a piece of machinery from where he can observe Fayyad entering a locked enclosure. Jack moves round to get a better bead on the armed guards around the enclosure. 10:55. Fayyad inspects the suitcase bombs. Jack takes careful aim at one of the guards. All of Fayyad's gang one by one, Jack now closes in on Fayyad himself, who has opened one of the bombs. Fayyad fires desperately at Jack, but to no avail. Both now seemingly out of ammunition, they engage in deadly hand-to-hand combat. Jack throws Fayyad over his shoulder. Jack kicks him and gets his hands around his throat. Fayyad throws him clear. Jack gets hold of a huge wrench. He gets in one blow, but Fayyad dodges the second and gets Jack in a hold, smashing him against a pillar and punching him in the face. They are both near collapse, but Fayyad is still on his feet. Jack crawls across the floor. Fayyad staggers after him and launches a vicious kick at Jack's ribs. Fayyad stamps down on Jack's back. Jack twists, knocking Fayyad off balance and down onto the ground. Jack pulls himself to his feet with the aid of a heavy chain hanging from the roof. He uses this chain to ward off blows fired aims at him with a length of metal pipe. They grapple desperately. Jack bites Fayed's hand. He headbutts him. He loops the chain several times around Fayed's neck, then kicks the back of his knees.
Say hello to your brother.
Jack reaches across and grabs the dangling control handset of the chain hoist and presses the button. As Fayed is lifted clear of the ground, Jack sinks down. Fayed's feet kick as the chain tightens around his neck. Jack looks on without remorse as Fayed chokes and breathes his last. The pain in Jack's ribcage now appears to overcome him and he slumps over onto his side. At CTU, the team wait tensely. Jack hears the helicopter and looks up. 10:58. Doyle and attack team move through the building towards Jack.
Jack. Jack. You all right?
Yeah. I'm fine. How'd you find me?
Well, we tracked the sanitation truck by satellite.
Bombs are on the table.
Hey, CTU, this is Doyle. We're on site.
Go ahead, Mike.
The bombs are secure. Jack's all right. Repeat, the bombs are secure.
Doyle scans the scene around him, the floor scattered with dead bodies, fired, hanged. He shakes his head in awe.
Man, Jack. Man, let's get you to medical.
Doyle helps Jack to his feet.
Doyle.
As Doyle takes the call, Jack emerges from the enclosure. Spotting his gun on the ground, he stoops to pick it up and stashes it safely.
Got a call. It's being routed through CTU switchboard.
Thanks. This is Bauer. Hello. Hello.
Jack. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Audrey.
Help me, Jack. Please, help me.
What the hell is going on? Audrey, where are you?
Hello, Mr. Bauer. Yes, Miss Raines is alive. If you wish her to remain that way, you will call me back in 10 minutes at 310-597-3781 on a secure line. If you make any attempt to find our location, she dies.
Chang. Chang.
...11 p.m. The end.
Barry can eat 29,000 calories and drink 40 pints of lager a day. Barry is 50 stone. See how his life has changed in the last 18 months. Tomorrow at 9 on Sky One. Next tonight, the daily struggle of the survivors of Flight 815 and the jungle beckons for one inhabitant. Lost. Next on Sky One.